Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org. All right, you guys, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. Next up is Jonathan S. Landay, national security correspondent for McClatchy Newspapers. That's McClatchyDC.com. Welcome back, Jonathan. How are you?
I am well, thank you very much. A bit tired. Been grinding away on this Syria-Iraq story for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
I need a vacation.
Well, now, in Iraq, we could say Kurdistan, Shiistan, and we got the Islamic State, but we need a new name for the rump of what's left of Syria there in the West. Do you have one?
Assadistan?
Oh, there you go, Assadistan, and then bordering on caliphate land. I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, let's talk about what's going on in Syria, and especially what's going on in the White House and on the National Security Council about what they're going to do in Syria, Jonathan. Go ahead and go.
Well, I wish I could tell you, Scott. That's the big question. After that horrendous videotape of the execution of American freelance journalist James Foley was posted last week by the Islamic State, we got all of this belligerent statements coming out of very senior people in the administration, beginning with the Secretary of State, John Kerry, who said that the Islamic State had to be destroyed. You had the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, saying that the Islamic State is a threat to every interest the United States has. And you had the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, saying that the only way to destroy them, this group, would be to hit them on the Syrian side of the border, which, of course, is what they used to organize and then used as a springboard for their offensive into neighboring Iraq. Then you had, the day after that, you had the Deputy White House National Security Advisor, Ben Rhodes, saying that the death of James Foley was represented in a terrorist attack on the United States, and he wasn't ruling out any kind of response. And so you take all of that, throw it together, and given the horrific atmosphere that pertained after Mr. Foley's execution, there were a lot of these expectations that were raised that some kind of U.S. military action against the Islamic State inside Syria was imminent. And then come Monday, all that starts getting rolled back by the administration. We're hearing no, there are no imminent airstrikes. And quite frankly, we're not sure what the administration's approach to the Islamic State is going to be. Well, there's a lot of they discuss about how they're going to try and approach the problem in Iraq, but Syria remains a black hole.
Hmm. Well, now, so there have been reports that America's been passing intelligence through the Germans to Assad, maybe even through the Iraqi government to Assad. Can you talk about that?
Well, that was brought up by two administration spokespeople who vehemently deny it. I find it a little hard to believe myself because although that kind of thing has happened in the past, we all remember the picture of Donald Rumsfeld meeting Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraq War. To give him American intelligence. But at that time, Saddam Hussein's ouster was not official American policy. The official policy of the Obama administration is that President Bashar Assad of Syria has to go.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard for me to believe that the administration is secretly passing intelligence to Assad on the Islamic State.
Because on the other hand, though, I mean, it's almost impossible to believe that it's the official policy of America to overthrow every last dictator over there who has a clean-shaven chin, Gaddafi and Assad and the secular European-style fascist Baathists, and replace them with these lunatics.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. But let's think about it. If the United States is, in fact, first of all, I suspect that the Assad regime knows a hell of a lot more about the Islamic State and its order of battle and where it is and what it controls in the United States of America does. So you got to ask the question, why would Assad need our intelligence?
Right.
Second of all, by helping him, we're not just helping someone who today is being cited by the United Nations, whose regime is being cited by the United Nations as committing just unbelievable war crimes. By helping him, or by at least going against helping him against the Islamic State, we're helping inadvertently another entity, and that would be Jabhat al-Nusra, the Nusra Front, which is the official al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria. And I don't think that is American policy. Right. So I really do have a bit of a problem believing that the United States is passing intelligence. Is the United States maintaining some kind of communications channel through another intelligence service like the Germans or the Russians to the Assad regime? I have no problem believing that. But the idea that we're actually trying to help Assad deal with an enemy that he knows better than we do is hard for me to understand.
Mm. All right. Now, I'm sorry. Could you go over that again, how it is that if he was helping Assad target ISIS, oh, you're saying that that would just in effect help Nusra since they're fighting ISIS too, and we wouldn't want to do that? But that
right.
would be kind of a minor side effect compared to
Would, except it, well, I don't know, because look.
I mean, if there's
places...
one force in the country that is the anti-ISIS force that could be, it would be the Assad government, not Nusra.
Well, but both are fighting Islamic State, and in particular, Nusra is fighting the Islamic State and trying to prevent it from taking over Aleppo, country's largest city and commercial center. There are some pretty fierce battles going on. So, you know, I don't find it. I just said it would be an inadvertent advantage that we
right.
would be
yeah,
giving.
Yeah, I see what you mean, though.
But I don't think it would be the number one.
Right.
Consideration now, for the Obama administration.
Right. Now, okay, we're real short on time here, so let me ask you this real quick. There's another story at McClatchy here by your colleague, Leslie Clark, and the quote from Obama is, "Let me say it again. American combat troops will not be returning to fight in Iraq. Will
yep.
not allow the United States to be dragged back into another ground war." And that sounds like a little bit of wisdom there, that he understands that ISIS wants us to invade the Sunni Triangle. And he's saying he knows better. Do you think he'll really stay out? Because, you know, Prothero says JSOC, SOCOM, and CIA have been running around in Kurdistan for months.
Yeah, but they're not American combat boots. Let's
well,
forget.
Sort of, kind of.
Well,
I mean, Delta
yeah,
Force
but,
and...
But every administration, every government in the world plays funny with words. Right, and
right.
and so and don't forget we've been told that there would be no American boots on the ground in Syria, and yet there were in July in this failed rescue attempt to try and get James Foley.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, their words can be played with, and they are all the time. And let's not also forget that there are nearly 1,000 Americans, American military, in Iraq already as a result of the offensive that was launched by the Islamic State and the request that was made by what's will be soon, I guess, the former Maliki government for American military advisors, and they've got them, and they've got their additional American security contingents over there at the request of the State Department, which wants to make sure that there's no threat to Baghdad Airport, because that's the way that the Americans would get out. And so the American troops are helping to provide security there for the embassy, for the consulate in Erbil. I believe there's also a consulate down in Basra that is where there's been increased security. And so there are American troops in Iraq. The question is whether or not those are going to increase. And I think a lot of that has to do with, I think a lot of people are looking forward to next month and this 30-day deadline that the Iraqi Prime Minister designate al-Abadi has to form a new government, a quote-unquote inclusive government with the Kurds and the Sunnis that I think the administration sees as being, I know the administration sees as being the key to solving the Islamic State problem in Iraq, and a lot of people have major questions about that.
Yeah, that's completely ridiculous. You can just, you know, place your shorts on it right now.
Right.
On the markets there. Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, Scott.
All right, y'all. That is Jonathan Lande, McClatchy, DC.com. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. Hey, all, Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Roberts & Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co.